First, I'd like you to tell me more about you and how you became so involved with interpreting Kentucky's history.
Well, first of all, I'm a native Kentuckian. I grew up in Davis County and went to the Davis County school systems and Kentucky Wesleyan College. I got a master's degree in rank one at Western Kentucky University. And I've taught in the Kentucky schools for 36 years. 21 of those years was at night. It was in addition to my full-time teaching at Hancock County High School. And I taught a night class for Owensboro Community College for 21 years. I retired in 2012. Being a history teacher and having a great history teacher when I was in high school, Floyd Hooks, and he came from down in that area, I think. I know he went to Murray. He was the one that inspired me to teach, and he's the first one that told me about the War of 1812, and I learned about the battle cry of the War of 1812, Remember the Raisin. It's where Kentuckians lost 369 people, and it was up in Michigan, and it was a massacre. In fact, 60 to 90 Kentuckians were burned alive in cabins by angry Native Americans. And that became the battle cry, just like Remember the Alamo is for Texas.
Set the scenario.
As you know, the 13 colonies were pretty well established. The natives were beyond that land. There were people like Daniel Boone and others coming across the Appalachians. The British tried to stop that and wanted a more orderly settlement process. Of course, that was the proclamation line of 1763. We had a war, of course, with them for our independence, and we got all of the lands to the Mississippi River. There were a lot of issues about our northern border with Canada, which was, you know, owned by Britain. And the British were actually trading on a lot of our lands, you know, across the lakes, not recognizing our borders. They got into the war with France, Napoleon, and the Americans over here were very angry because of the impressment, the seizure of our sailors and their taxes. And during that time, the British basically started using the Native Americans and telling them that they would provide for them if they would, you know, back up with them and fight the Americans. So basically they were being whipped up by the British, and they weren't happy with, you know, their lands being seized. And there was the terrible battle at Tippecanoe, where Davis County, Kentucky, Colonel Joseph Hamilton Davis was killed there. And the county was named for him. But the Indian unrest had been going on. The British took advantage of that. They needed help. They were stretched thin fighting Napoleon.
But in fact, what was Raisin?
The River Raisin was after war was declared. James Madison declared war. A lot of people felt he was tricked into it by Napoleon. And we sent troops north into Canada. We weren't well prepared. The British were the number one superpower of the world. They were ensconced in Canada. They had Canadian residents there and Native Americans. Basically, when we went north to fight, Henry Clay of Kentucky was one of the leading war hawks that was saying, on to Canada, on to Canada. And there were a group of Federalists in the New England states who were saying, no, we don't want to fight. It's a Republican, Western Republican, Democratic Republican ploy to seize Canada and have more Western states. So not all the states were really enthusiastic about fighting Britain, but Kentucky sent the second largest amount of troops into battle. And we sent, you know, thousands into Canada. we took the little town of, it's called Frenchtown, and it's on the River Raisin, which is present-day Monroe, Michigan. And I was up there last January for the 200th anniversary. Basically, we took that town, and General Winchester ensconced himself in a real nice house about a mile away from the troops. And he was warned that the British are coming back. And he didn't heed the warning. And the next morning, they were there with Native Americans and with Canadians, and they started opening up on the town and the little fort with their three-pounder cannons. Winchester was captured. The two armies that were with the Kentuckians, we were militia, they were overrun and massacred, and the Kentuckians were the only ones still holding the town. Winchester ordered them to surrender, and they said, no, we're not going to do it. It finally ended up having to surrender because they were out of ammunition, and those that could walk and some that really couldn't were marched to Fort Malden, and the most severely wounded were left behind. And those were the ones that were burned alive in their cabins. Those that made it out, the natives got drunk. The British officers slunk away, and they massacred that many Kentuckians, and we were just outraged. That became the battle cry for the war.
My goodness. Well, I'm sure that your presentation will go into great detail about this, and I appreciate you telling me the story so quickly so that our listeners will be piqued to be at the McCracken County Public Library this Thursday.
Right. Well, I'll be in authentic costume. You know, I'll have a PowerPoint presentation, and I'll also be talking about my novel, Widder's Landing. And it is set during that time period, and it's not a war novel. It's about a young gunsmith that comes to Kentucky in 1811 in the year of the comet, the New Madrid earthquakes, the great passenger pigeon flights. Henry Clay is elected Speaker of the House. War is declared. The New Madrid earthquakes are just incredible. And I did a lot of research, traveling, interviewing, and bringing all that into play. I've got Kentucky religion, romance, might be a little racy for some. Then the war comes basically towards the end of the book, and my main character, Craig Ridgway, tries to stay out of it, but he ends up going to the Battle of New Orleans. I weave the book with the war. Although it's not a war book, there's no way I could have written that without showing how deeply Kentucky was involved and how strongly they were impacted by the war.
Mr. Price, it sounds like you're having a great time in your retirement.
I am. I've seen so much of Kentucky. One day I'm at a fort or a reenactment. Guns are going off. Horses are riding by. Another day I'm at a literary arts conference and I'm having to wear a suit and a tie. I get to go to Miami, Florida, for the International Book Fair. Widder's Landing won the gold medal for best historical fiction. And I'll be on television and helping host the awards down there. That's this month. So it's really been, it has been fun.
Well, congratulations to you. And we look forward to your visit to Paducah.
Thank you very much.